Friends, Romans, countrymen, this is WonderPod 10. I am your host, Bruce McGee, deciding to fuck around with the intro. As always, I am joined by Gunsage.
Auto battle.
And if you can't guess what Gunsage has been playing this week, too bad. And also our very own friendly neighbor up north, Patrick.
WonderPod 10. Woo! 10. Hit it to double digits. How's it going, everyone? Woo!
That's all I got.
Okay, Patrick, why don't you give us what you've been playing this week first?
Alrighty. Well, mostly I've been playing the heck out of the two titles that I talked about last week. Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing and Battlefield Bad Company 2. But since I already talked about those last week, I won't get into them too much again. You know, there have been a few well-publicized problems that's going on in Battlefield Bad Company. It affected one of our listeners, Mr. I Pinch, but we're going to talk about that a little later on in the program in the news section. So I did play a couple of demos this week, so I guess I'll talk about them. First demo that I played was for, I think it's called Toy Soldiers, which is an Xbox Live Arcade title with, you guessed it, World War One toy soldiers in it. That's not bad. It's basically a hybrid of several types of gameplay here. Mostly tower defense with a lot of real-time strategy and some action mixed in. It's pretty cool. It's pretty well done. I like taking control of the guns and the cannons and all the other shit and basically defending my little toy box from oncoming attackers in the sky and on the ground. It's pretty good. Thing is, I'm not a really big RTS fan, so those elements kind of put me off the demo more than if it was just all-out action. And I found some of the controls not to be very responsive at times. I couldn't really turn my Gatling gun around very well. Maybe I was missing something, but it seemed really stiff and choppy. You know, it's a pretty good concept. It's a fun little game, but it's 1,200 Microsoft points, which is a little friggin' steep, in my opinion. I mean, there's a lot of great titles on Xbox Live for less than that price. So I probably won't pick it up anytime soon, but if you're into tower defense and you like World War One and action and RTS, you should check out the demo. Have any of you guys tried it?
Nope, I am Xboxless. Thank you, Microsoft.
That's age.
The problem with my Xbox right now is I literally have less than a gig left, so I have not been experimenting with any arcade shit. I need to I need to get all the Fallout 3 and a couple of other downloadable content shit done so I can actually free up my space. Yeah.
It's not bad. You guys aren't missing too much unless you really like the whole tower defense thing. There's a multiplayer aspect to it, but I haven't tried that yet. If there's a co-op, I don't know if there is, but if there's co-op, that'd be kind of neat. But what else I play? The other demo that I played this week is Just Cause 2. This is a demo for a full Xbox title. It's not an Xbox Live. It's much like the original game. Did you guys play the original one?
I have it. Love it.
It's, I don't know, it's an open world, I guess, almost GTA-style concept, where you get some pretty cool stunt abilities. You can use a parachute to jump off cliffs and fly all over the place, land on cars and hijack them and do all sorts of crazy shit like that. I think there's boats, but I never got to that part in the demo. You got some kind of hook shot or like a bionic commando-like thingamabob. Was that in the first one?
Yep, the grappling hook was in the first one, but...
Yeah, grappling hook, yeah. That's pretty neat. You can move really quickly from one building to another. It's basically just a really fast, fun clusterfuck where you blow stuff up and you shoot people. So the demo's fun enough. Looks good, sounds pretty decent. But, you know, we're at a point in the Xbox 360's life that a decent-looking and decent-playing game just isn't enough for me to buy it. There's just too many other great titles to settle for a good one. So it's not bad, but not great. If you're into the first one, you'll probably be into this one. If you like the GTA open world style, you like stunts. For me, I'd probably get old pretty fast, but it's definitely worth checking out. And, that's what I've been playing this week.
Okay, Gunsage.
Well, I haven't actually been playing that much. I have been playing Final Fantasy 13. I'll say that. But I've also been going back and playing some older stuff. Really wasn't on the 360 very much until I got Final Fantasy 13. I had mostly been going back and playing like older Mega Man games and fucking realizing just how ridiculous some of the older Nintendo games are. Like, okay, for example, some of the older, like, NES Disney titles. they're very hit miss when it comes to difficulty, because you have stuff like DuckTales where it's like, it's just fucking easy the whole way through. Even the final little plot twist side battle ending thing is just ridiculously easy. And then you have stuff like motherfucking Darkwing Duck, which I'm like, okay, as a kid, how did I even play this?
Because you were a kid.
I don't know. Well, no, I mean, no, I'm saying in terms of difficulty. Like, literally the final boss, it took a good 20 hits to get him out of his first form. And in his first form, he doesn't even fight you. You fight his minions that constantly kill you relentlessly. So it was fucking ridiculous. Some of them were pretty fun, some of them not so much. Mostly I had more fun with the Mega Man stuff. And Final Fantasy 13 has been pretty cool. It's very, 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 very linear, but it's still pretty cool. It actually does the kind of Final Fantasy 6 thing where at one point you pretty much have all your party members, and then they split off in different groups for different reasons and things of that nature. And so they have their own little stories and backstories and everything that are developing. And I'm sure eventually they come back together. So it's pretty awesome. The story's really well done. It's just, I'm having pretty much the same problem any other fanboy of Final Fantasy is having, in that it's just way too fucking linear. So I don't know. It's pretty fun though.
Okay, first off, we'll do a donkey update. Last I heard, the donkey was trapped in 8 foot of snow somewhere between the Oregon and California border. So I suspect that my data cable will get here sometime after hell freezes over, meaning that for now my Xbox is pretty much useless to me because I refuse to put anything on the new hard drive until I get the old one transferred over. That said, it has opened up the opportunity to play around on Steam. You know, we talk a lot about RTS games, but of course Patrick isn't particularly into that genre, neither are you, but we talk about them all the time, and I got to thinking the other night, I'm like, I haven't played an RTS game in a long time. Well, it just so happened that on Steam they had Rome Total War Gold and one more expansion pack, Alexander, on sale for $10. So I downloaded that. I really like it. It's really funny because it's like, if you take Age of Empires and smash Sid Meier's Civilization into each other at 1,000 miles an hour, that's pretty much Rome Total War. But what I like is that the graphics are really well done when you zoom in. Like, there's waving grass. They paid more attention to when you're zoomed in on your armies fighting than when you're zoomed out on the overall picture. So I'm happy with it. It's an RTS game. I like RTS games, so you actually kind of have to pay attention a little bit more than I thought you would to battle strategy. I mean, you just don't run your army into another army, even if you're 5 times the size, because invariably the computer will figure out a way to make you pay for it, even if you don't lose. So I like that aspect. It's challenging. And then, of course, I played more Torchlight on Steam, which, interestingly enough, we're not going to cover it in news, but I did read a story this week that Runic Games is going to try and bring that to the consoles, which I think is a smart move.
Yes.
I highly support and endorse that move. I really like the game a lot. It's a fun dungeon brawler. I think they could sell some copies on consoles.
Yep.
Then I broke down today because of the donkey situation and replaced my PS2 controller because I broke the last one in a fit of rage. And I have been playing the first 5 minutes of God of War. Now, some people are going to go, the first 5 minutes? Well, yeah, I know. I just popped it in to make sure the controller worked and that the game worked. But I bought God of War because generally I suck at those games. I've played it before. I think I beat it when I played it when it was first out. And when was that released, Gunsage? I forget.
Oh, shit.
05 was...
Maybe... Yeah, 05 sounds about right. Yeah.
Anyways, I know I played it to completion the first time. I don't remember shit about it. Generally, I'm horrible at games like that and tend to get really irritated really fast. So my goal this time is to complete it without either destroying a console or just giving it up altogether and shoving it back in the library behind me. So after the show's over, I'll probably pop it in and play some more. And then I also played on there a game called Downhill Domination, which, if you guys heard me talk about it before, if you're not into mountain bikes or into bikes in general, it's not gonna appeal to you at all. It's basically just mountain bike racing. And to be quite honest, this whole, you know, my whole waiting on Microsoft has been kind of fun because it's made me go back and get back into my PS2 library, and it's made me kind of go back to playing on the PC, and it's been fun. I miss screaming and hollering on Xbox Live parties and listening to Carlos whine bitch and moan because he's still muted.
Well, oh, you said you started going back to PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I don't know.
You need to write me a list, damn it. The only reason I picked up God of War is I didn't see any of the older Final Fantasies I wanted, and I forgot. I always forget about Persona. Write me a list so when I go into GameStop, I know what the hell I'm looking for.
I can write you a list.
No, I'm serious. Give me a list. If I don't have it in my head when I'm going in there, I just get blinders on. I'm looking for this title, and I mean, if God of War had been sitting right there staring me in the face, I'm going, you know, I haven't played that in a long time. I haven't played a beat-em-up game in a long time. I think I'll buy God of War. And then I walked off, you know. So that is what we've been playing. Now, gentlemen, I'm going to take us in a little bit different direction this week for two reasons. One, last week, I thought we were about as negative to everybody and everything as we possibly could have been.
Yes, it's all coming together.
Not that we weren't justified in our bitching and moaning, but it led me to have a conversation with my cousin who was visiting in town this weekend, how horrible gamers can be and how we're just a bunch of shitheads. And are you guys aware of a charity called Child's Play?
Yes.
The guys over at Penny Arcade, Gabe and Tycho, about, 4 or 5 years ago now, I think, in response to some of Jack Thompson's bullshit. I'm doing the Cliff Notes version of this, but I think he basically sent Gabe and Tycho an email or maybe just Gabe, saying that, well, I give to charity all the time. You never give to charity, da-da-da-da-da. So Gabe and Tycho started Child's Play, and I was watching a video over there at Penny Arcade about how when they started it, they just put out a call on their website, and 2 days later, Gabe's garage was full from front to back, floor to ceiling, with toys in 2 days. They said they had the FedEx, UPS, and mailman so pissed off because he was having to come like 2 or 3 times a day. And so that spawned into Child's Play. Now, last year, I was not financially able to donate to Child's Play. I usually do. The thing is, as much as we focus on the negativity about how gamers are such dicks, devs are such dicks, publishers, media, yada, yada, yada. This is one thing that as a community we do that's good and that we need to focus on. You know, tying into what that guy was talking about in the video. Last year, Child's Play raised, $1,780,870. The cool thing about it is if you go to the Child's Play website, which I'll try to link when I do the show post. I always say that and never do. There are game controllers on a map, and you can focus on any child hospital you want to donate to. Like, there's one, the nearest one to me is in Oakland. There's a couple in Canada.
One in Calgary.
Yep, there's one in Calgary. Looking for Ohio on the map. Yeah, there's a few in Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And the cool thing is if you click on any of those, you don't have to be like this super rich person. Like, I'll click on Oakland's again to donate to them. Let's see here. The first two games that are on their list, if you click on the controller, it takes you to Amazon. The first three things that are on their list are under $10. And if you order it, it'll go to the, I clicked on Oakland, California, because that's near me. This goes to the Oakland Children's Hospital in the name of Child's Play, you know.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, you can do it up there in Alberta, you can do it in Ohio, and it's just, for two guys who do a comic like Penny Arcade, to do this and to start this, I mean, they're all over. It's in Canada, England, oh yeah, no, I know Australia and New Zealand, but is that Germany? Yeah, it's Germany, I think. I just wanted to take a moment before we jumped into news, and probably will be negative dicks again, to say that, you know, not all functions of the game community is about eating their own. You know, that there are people out there that do good works, and I personally want to encourage you to support Child's Play. I mean, I plan on donating this year. If someone like me, who's usually broke as hell, can afford to donate $5 to $10 to them, and put a smile on a child's face who's going through something awful. Anytime you got to be at the hospital for more than 5 minutes is awful.
Trust me.
I know.
Oh, I was going to say, I always donate old clothes and baby toys and stuff like that because fucking, especially places like Once Upon a Child will pay you $20 for 20 bag loads of shit that's perfectly still good.
Wow.
Well, yeah, right. It's something that we gamers can do that's positive. As much as most of the time we're part of the problem, as we illustrated last week and as we'll probably illustrate until the three of us get sick of each other, and quit doing this show. But this is one thing I want to hold up after all of last week's negativity, you know, to just say, hey, go donate. if you could afford $60 for a game, you could probably afford $5 to give to this charity. I want to see him get to $2 million next year. That's what I want to see. So, any thoughts, gentlemen? Have either of you ever donated to them, or were you that familiar with it before I
heard about it? Some websites have been doing like marathons and stuff, and then they have them on webcams, and they're doing. I know there's a few Nintendo websites that'll have all Mario marathons, and then you're just send them money and they put it towards Child's Play. I've seen that before. And I'm looking through the Calgary stuff here. Well, it's in Calgary. They call it the Alberta Children's Hospital. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of generous people here. Lots of elites. They only need one more Xbox 360 Elite. Everything from that down to a headset that only costs $2.99. So, yeah, I would encourage anyone who does this. I'm kind of scared of the interwebs and using any form of money. I'm a paranoid little bastard. I usually donate more in person, but if you're brave enough and if you're not like me, then this would be an awesome cause. Definitely. I mean, if you're a gamer, this is right true to your heart.
Hey, you can, Patrick, for those of you that are afraid of the internet, even here in 2010, hey, you admitted you're paranoid. It doesn't mean I'm not going to make fun of you. until I get my identity stolen because I order everything on the internet, which... I haven't yet, but, you know, some risks you're willing to take, some you're not. So I'll make gentle fun of you, but I understand why you don't. You can buy a toy, an unwrapped toy, and I think just send it to them. Yeah. You could go down to your local Future Shop, Best Buy, whatever. You'd have to read on here. I can't remember. But I'm pretty sure you can just send it to the Penny Arcade offices, and it will go wherever. Or you might be able to even take it to the Alberta Children's Hospital and care up Child's Play.
Yeah, probably.
If you're not, see, you can also donate cash directly via PayPal or Child's Play, 123 Northwest 36th Street, number 210, Seattle, Washington, 98107.
Cool.
See, like I said, I wanted to spotlight this. I mean, the guys at Penny Arcade are huge. They're internet celebrities now themselves, but still, I don't think you can say enough about a charity like this. You know, so if our little podcast gets it to one new person, it's well worth the time to me to take out of our normal shenanigans of bitching, pissing, moaning, rambling on, and all the other stuff we do to talk about. Any closing thoughts, Gunsage?
Not really. I mean, I did know about the charity, but I haven't actually officially, donated to them. So, it could definitely be good.
Well, now that you know how cheap it is.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of stuff on here. It's cool.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But anyways, give the Child's Play. It's cheap as $3.89. If order online at Amazon, yada, yada, yada. So give, you cheap bastards. I mean, you think about it, we spend $60 on a game. A lot of times when we shouldn't necessarily spend $60 on a game. So let's move to news, folks. Gunsage, why don't you talk about Super Monkey Island, Secret of Monkey Island, Slap a Pogo Stick Productions, or whatever.
So apparently they're getting ready to go ahead and remake Monkey Spank Island 2. I mean, Secret of Monkey Island 2.
And Porchlight, don't forget about it.
Yes, Porchlight also. The reason why this is really cool to me is because I loved, the first three Monkey Islands, technically. But I don't think the third one really needs to be remade because it kind of... Anyway, the first and second one were, older VGA titles back in the day when LucasArts actually gave a damn about adventure gaming and things of that nature. But they, recently remade the original one, special edition, full voice acting, all that. So they're doing the second one now, which is awesome because that one was longer and significantly more epic, had a lot more humor and everything to it. So I'm just looking on the Destructoid site here, and they already have the comparison pictures between the original and the new one. It's just, it looks freaking great. About the only thing I'm worried about, in the last one, they had an issue as far as, like the old one, yeah, it looked a little grainy, it was VGA, and all that, and it didn't have the voice acting or anything, but the animation was still really nice, and the characters still moved through the environments pretty quickly and things of that nature. I felt like in the remake, you didn't move as fast, and the artwork kind of conflicted in a way that it seemed like there were less frames of animation, so it almost didn't, it's like it looked better, but yet it didn't look better when it actually all came together. It was very strange. So, I don't know. Hopefully they've corrected that by now. But either way, I mean, at least it'll go ahead and indoctrinate newer gamers into the actual Monkey Island series rather than fucking Tales of Monkey Island. So, yeah.
Now, I'm actually excited about this, even though I can't pronounce the title correctly to save my ass. I did play, I think, the first one. Maybe the
second. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Long time ago, like you said, you were laughing and going, the VGA era, and I'm going, man, I'm old.
Well, no, I mean, I understand. I just...
No, because I was around the pre-VGA era, so it's like, man.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, you had an older computer than I did for your first one, but I had like a 286. I wasn't even able to play the original Monkey Island on my original one. You know, let alone, fucking Maniac Mansion and basically CGA graphics. That was fun. Ugh.
I can't remember if I got it legally or not, but I played the first one on my Packard Bell P1.
Ah, okay.
So, and which was right after the Amiga. And I remember it being fun. You know the one I get it confused with because of the island is Dizzy. It's your island, Dizzy.
Yeah. Dizzy was, oh God.
I love
it. I still haven't beaten any of those.
Really? I beat the first one. Yeah. I don't know how many of them after that I played.
I think they're like 3 or 4, something like that. I really need to go back and beat the one I played. Cause I liked it. It was relentlessly fucking difficult.
Yeah, see, the first one wasn't too bad, but I had that one on Amiga.
No.
Cause I bought my Amiga used from a kid and he had like 20 games for it on little discs. Okay. And I think it was one of the ones that came with it. So, okay, next story. Patrick, you alluded to it a little bit earlier with Mr. Pinch of Calgary. Why don't you tell us about EA's problems with Battlefield Bad Company?
We got our news article from 1UP.com. It's all over the internet. Bad Company 2 players reporting lost stats, which has happened not to me yet, I say, but to a few people on my friends list. Multiplayer users finding all of their stats, ranks, and weapon unlocks disappearing inexplicably? Oh, I can't even talk today. Anyways, basically, long story short, multiplayers, they're losing their stats. And a lot of people who play online shooters, we've all played Call of Duty, you get a whole bunch of things, a whole bunch of stats, a whole bunch of weapons, upgrades, based on how well you perform and how much you play. And it's just disappearing on some gamers. And this has happened to at least one listener, our very own iPinch, who I talk about a lot. We're playing a few days ago now, and this was before it became big on the internet, and he noticed that all of his things that he unlocked had vanished. And we thought maybe it was because we were playing a different game type. We never played that 4-team versus 4-team before, so we just kind of ignored it and thought when he gets back to the next game type, he'll have all his stuff back. But he didn't. And apparently, for many people that this happens to, including iPinch, all you have to really do is finish a full game now, and your stats will return to you as if nothing happened. So, in a way, it corrects itself, but it is pretty much a big problem. A lot of people are bitching on the internet, and rightfully so. I've heard other stories of high-ranking players losing their stats, their abilities, their guns, and not getting them back. So it's almost, if you pardon the pun, a roll of the dice if you get screwed or not. I don't know. Hasn't happened to me yet.
On top of that, they're apparently having server issues with connections and all that, just like Battlefield 43.
Yeah, they haven't learned from last time. Kind of weird. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Gunsage.
Well, the fact that it seems like it's not really that big of a deal that they actually get them back, it's just a temporarily hiccup in the system, they should just shut up. But if there is any real confirmed, you know, I worked my ass off for several hours to get here, and now it doesn't fucking matter. That, yeah, I would absolutely side with them on that, because that was bullshit.
I'm going to sound like a broken record as usual. It's just more of the same. It's like you didn't learn during Battlefield 43. Spent the first 2 weeks wondering if we're ever going to get a game. Then you have the party thing, and I am sure there are some players that are just absolutely shitting themselves. All I can say is it's really not making me feel too bad that I'm currently not on Xbox, you know, because it's like, well, shit. By the time I get my act back together, maybe I'll just wait till the Medal of Honor reboot. Which leads us into our next story of the fact that another reason why I may wait is the 30th of this month, there's a map pack coming out for COD Modern Warfare. Yes.
Gee, I wonder if that's timed this way for a reason. I didn't really read up too much on it. I got a story I sent you guys somewhere in the show notes, but the basic news was is that there was a bunch of maps coming out for it. I know COD map packs in the past have been pretty hit or miss, but I'm curious whether or not you plan on picking it up.
I think so. I mean, even though I recently, just like you said, purchased Battlefield Bad Company 2, I'm pretty glad to hear that there's some new maps coming our way for Call of Duty. I'm definitely not finished with the title, so these new maps should bring back some of my lost addiction that I originally had. And I mean, right now, you guys don't have Battlefield Bad Company, and it's harder to get into a big party, so
yeah.
I will definitely be downloading them. Unless, of course, they didn't talk about pricing or anything, but assuming it's the same pricing as usual, then yeah. I mean, just imagine this, if you will, running around these new unexplored maps with Gunsage yelling at the top of his lungs, SHIELD! How excited about that. More Shield Force? Yes, please.
Yes.
How excited what?
Yeah, I'll pick it up. If it's only like 800, what was the one on 5? 800?
I think so, yeah. Something like that, or 1,000, I'm not sure, I can't remember.
No, I'll buy it. 1,000 points, I might be a little bit tempted to go, yeah, right. Or you do the guinea pig method of let you guys buy it. see what happens. But for the most part, I mean, I plan on picking up Battlefield Bad Company eventually. Yeah, I'll probably pick up this map pack. I'm pretty excited for it. See what happens. See how fast the gaming community breaks it. Gunsage, you feel the same way?
Well, you know, I hadn't actually hopped into Modern Warfare 2 for a while. Well, 360 in general, just because, I don't know, I got kind of jaded with the whole achievement points, Mass Effect 2 pissing me off, and then Mass Effect 1 pissing me off, and then having the responsibility of going ahead and managing my actual hard drive at some point so I can get more downloadable content because I'm too much of a cheap bastard, also known as broke, to go ahead and upgrade to an elite system like you're doing. So I'm in this position where I'm like, well, I don't really have anything I really, really want to play. It's mostly just achievement scoring shit, so I guess I'll go off and do this old shit. But I will say, Modern Warfare 2 is probably the most addicted I've ever been to something as far as an online game. So yeah, I definitely welcome new maps.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just get the old band back together and try it out, I have no doubt.
Still gotta do Left 4 Dead 2, though.
Oh, god damn it.
Eventually.
Well, yeah, as soon as the fucking donkey gets here, I'll punch him right in the fucking nose when he does. Poor UPS bastard. He's never going to see it coming.
Poor delivery guy.
Yeah, I'll be nice to this one. He's well trained.
As he's coming up to the door to go ahead and deliver it, you should go ding, 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 ding.
He would have no idea. But it would be good. Okay, so, oh, and the other one is, too, I want to make a small correction on the Medal of Honor Beard Warfare. It is the Unreal 3 engine for single player and the Frostbite engine for multiplayer.
That's weird.
Which Patrick, I think, mentioned, and I said I wasn't sure, but I thought it was all Frostbite. No, actually, that's not surprising. EALA works with the Unreal 3 a lot, and of course, DICE is all about Frostbite.
I gotta learn these different engines at some point.
The biggest thing you're gonna see is there will be no explodey buildings in single player and explodey buildings in multiplayer, is basically what it's gonna come down to.
Why would you do that, though? I mean, wouldn't you want it both ways, basically, or...
I'm not fucking Electronic Arts. I don't know.
I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
okay, yeah, from a single-player aspect, you would think you would want to, you know, pull out all the stops, have the most epic, you know, cinematic shit going on, but then a multiplayer possibly have to sacrifice some of that so that you could actually have a really well-done multiplayer map, you know. But if you could have it all, well, then there you go. I don't know.
Well, one of my biggest bitches against the COD franchise, and I may have never talked about this on the show before, is how small overall the maps are. There are in multiplayer. There are no true sniper maps. Gunsage, it's my opinion. I don't care what.
I was talking about the derailed map.
That's still not big enough.
Well, it's not huge, but it's larg.
It's close, but yeah. Go back and play Battlefield 1942 and Battlefield 2 and Battlefield Bad Company 1, and you'll know what I'm talking.
Okay. Yeah. No. I see what you mean now.
Yeah, I got an old school mentality when it comes to a true sniper map.
Which see, I thought you meant just large enough to actually do good sniping in.
No.
So, okay.
I mean, that so means. Large they don't even hear you. Anyways, I just wanted to, since we're doing our block of shooter news, I wanted to clear up the Medal of Honor Beard Warfare. There's a preview on Destructoid if you want to go check it out. What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, and look forward to, in probably a year or so, COD Dead Space Part 3. That fucking pissed me off.
The what now?
Apparently, the reason Sledgehammer Games is doing SCOD franchises, the rumor is it's going to be set in space.
Oh, boy.
So it's Doom?
What? It's going to be Dead Space, Halo, and Doom all smashed into each other at 100. Yeah, that was my... No, my exact reaction was fuck, 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 fuckity fuck.
Gay, gay, gay.
Yeah.
They just put in the Call of Duty name on it.
Just kiss the COD franchise goodbye. It's done.
Yep, just stick your virtual dick out the airlock and there you go.
All right, let's move on to something else. The next story is full Natal lineup due at E3. Microsoft is set to unveil the Natal lineup at E3, yada yada. No games mentioned. They're saying that 70 to 80% of game publishers in the world are committed to releasing Natal games. Fable 3 is going to be there, along with that lion sack of shit, Peter Molyneux. and a couple other first party titles. As we all know, as you all should know, if you pay attention to gaming, Sony, which we'll get to in a minute, announced theirs at GDC. My point in bringing this up is, do you think it was smart Microsoft to just wait till E3? Or do you think this was just kind of, okay, they're doing it there, we're doing it, we're going to do it here, so that we get our own little space?
I think Microsoft is hitting the right audience, is the whole point. I mean, I didn't even know what the hell GDC was until I started seeing like 10, 20 fucking articles on Destructoid for GDC this, GDC this. I'm like, what the fuck is GDC? I would have to assume Game Developer Conference. I think I'm right.
Yes.
But I've never even heard of it. So I'm like, okay, so it's a conference with game developers that receives some media attention versus E3, which... Okay, it's waned in the history, but at the same time, that's what it is for. It's to get the newest and biggest shit out there as far as all the different gaming shit. That's what it's for. Game Developer Conference almost sounds like it's a bunch of game developers getting together and just talking about what they do.
You are correct to a point, but for the last 4 or 5 years, it has become the place where they, whether you want to call it leak or announce new things, as well as CES and E3. But yeah, for the most part, it's where game developers get together. They discuss new concepts, new engines, get drunk together, yada, yada. But for the last 4 or 5 years, some news has come out of it. I think that's why Sony took the opportunity to go ahead and release, or talk about Move this week. Patrick, what's your take on this? Are you happy that Microsoft's releasing it at E3?
Definitely. I mean, that's the place to do your big announcements, is still E3. I mean, the public can't even go to Gamers Developing Conference without paying a $1,000 entrance fee. So, I mean, it's very niche. It's very, you know, it doesn't have the same amount of media attention. An interesting thing about this article, I couldn't read the whole thing here, but what the hell is the name of their Microsoft's Entertainment and Device Division? What's her name here? Mindy Mount? Mindy Mount? Are you serious?
I thought that too.
For Microsoft's PR department? I mean, seriously. Anyways, with Sony announcing the Move, or whatever the hell they've decided to call it today. It used to be called the Gem or whatever they call it. Yeah, it's high time that Microsoft really shows off their Natal. But I think they chose the right place and the right time to do it, you know? Even though they're going to be third out of the gate with their motion control and everyone else has seen and heard about the Sony stuff, they still need to do it on a better platform, and I think E3 is definitely a better place. So I'm hoping to see some really cool stuff from Natal. I hope there's some cool stuff coming from Rare. I mean, it's about time that motion control and casual gaming finally came into a current generation game. My eyes are bleeding when I try to play Wii Sports and low res PlayStation Portable graphics. So yeah, I think it's good that Microsoft waiting.
I do find this interesting because I didn't think about the fact that the average gamer doesn't see GDC as a announcement platform. I guess because I just pay more attention to it because I know people who are there. But it makes sense what you guys are saying.
Oh, and if you think about it, what is the audience for Natal? Is it the hardcore guys who are listening and looking on blogs and know people in the industry? Or is the audience for Natal the average Joe who will hear about E3? So I think it's a good idea.
I do too. Okay, well, so let's move on to GDC this week. Sony announced the Move. Anything you... I liked ARC better. I don't know why they're calling it the Move. And then they had some other name for the other thing. Say that again, the what?
They called it the Gem for a while, like the cartoon with the girl singers, you know, truly.
Oh, yep. Okay, and general thoughts on the Move now that it's been released. Gunsage, you go first.
Well, with the way it looks and everything, and remember, I'm a professional because I'm married, it looks like it should just be called the PlayStation I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. What are they going to have a ribbed attachment for it later? What the hell are they doing here? This looks like either a really crappy Karaoke Revolution accessory or, like I was saying earlier, one of those motherfucking cup and ball games. That or a little, you know what it almost looks like? It almost looks like when you look at the bathroom, you see those little people, it's like men, women. It looks like one of the little men, and so what you're doing is you're molesting his chest as you play. Not that he would mind it, but I mean, you're pushing his buttons, so to speak.
Oh.
Patrick, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I guess it's high time that they finally picked a name for this thing and stuck with it. They revealed also here, that's interesting, that the motion controlling bundle will be for under $100. So they're not going to be bleeding people dry. I mean, $100, it's probably going to be $99, but it's not as ridiculous as some of the rumors we've heard from uncredited sources about the really expensive Natal. So they're also treating this as a most important launch of the year, and they're planning an aggressive marketing campaign to complement devices fall launch. So, you know, for under $100, it's much less than buying a Wii, so it might do well. I mean, if you don't own a Wii and you own a PlayStation 3, you know, might as well get this because it's cheaper. I'm interested to see how Move and Natal will do against the unstoppable juggernaut known as the Wii, you know? Doesn't make me want to buy a PlayStation 3. I already own the original Waggle machine known as the Wii, and it's, you know, gathering dust at home. I don't need another one doing that, but I think it's pretty interesting that they're going for it, you know? It's going to be an interesting race once the two, as I say, real consoles, you know, start doing motion control. Looks a little weird, although, like I said, it's like a dildo with a light bulb on top. It's very strange.
First off, Microsoft, pay close attention to what I'm about to say. Natal is a cool name for your little motion control thingamabob. Don't be stupid like Sony. Move? I mean, what? They could have called it Butt Plug 1.0 and been more accurate. I mean, I don't like the name at all, first off. Second off, I don't care about motion control. Maybe it's because I'm of the elder gamer set, but I really have a hard time caring about any of this. If they want to push something for their fall marketing campaign, push God of War, push Mag. I mean, this crap making me feel gimmick. Here's the games that were announced at GDC and demoed. Sports Champion, The Shoot, Slider, TV Superstars, Movie Party, Motion Fighter, and the only title that you could even probably maybe put a single A on, possibly double, SOCOM 4. We already know that Fable 3 is going to have motion support, but the rest of those, it's like, welcome to PlayStation Wii Sport.
Yeah. Well, so they're all two-word titles? I just noticed that. They're all two-word titles, so you could actually make some really awesome games like that, like Bitch Raper.
Yeah.
Fear Drinker.
Yeah, how fast can you create?
Last Call.
Do another Battle Raper.
Do another what?
Another Battle Raper?
Yep.
Yep, they could.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what Natal looks like at E3. I don't expect it to get any better. And here's the other thing, the price point. First off, you made one little error in your reading there, Patrick. It's not uncredible sources. It's unbelievable and completely full of shit. So other than that, perfect. If I had a PS3, first off, I'd buy it for God of War 3 or Killzone 2 or something like that, not because of the motion sensor. I look at it as $100 is still too expensive for an existing console. make it a controller price. The Xbox controller right now, I think, runs between $40 and $50. Natal better not be more expensive than me going to get a second controller for a buddy to play on, or I'm gonna go fuck you. The way I look at it, you're selling an accessory. You know, they're trying to make this sound like it's gonna increase the longevity and add significantly to an already existing console unit. I don't see it as that. It's an accessory. It needs to be cheaper than $100. Any final thoughts on the Move?
I can't stand that name. It's ridiculous.
Not really.
Just trying to, you know, can't blame them for trying to get some of Nintendo's casual pie. I've said it before.
No, I don't for that, but it's... Yeah. It's just that the company that will do well in this is the one that leaves it in the casual, don't have to use it market. If you start forcing gamers to use it on AAA titles, it's not going to go well for you, I don't think.
The most telltale sign is looking at the actual quality of the games on the Wii already, you know. And basically, all you have to really look at is, okay, we're going to try all this really innovative shit. All right, look at what the Wii has done. Look at the best games on the Wii. And then ask yourself, is this what we really want to do? You know, I'm not saying the Wii is a bad console. It's not. It's just, it's in an entirely different market is the whole point, you know? So ultimately what it comes down to is it's like, if you really think you can do better than that, okay, take a crack at it. But if you're going to make every single game like that, you're going to ruin the market from the inside out.
Exactly.
You know? So I don't know. I'm always going to have the impression of, I don't like change. Because, I mean, come on, there's still plenty of goddamned older titles, even current titles, that I love. And I don't want to see sequels or sequels of sequels being like, now you get to play it with this dildo stick, you know? It was kind of the same impression I had with the new Crystal Bearers game for the Wii. It got really good reviews, so I was like, okay, let me go ahead and check it out. Why the fuck not? Crystal Chronicles deserves a good game. You know, at least the guidance worth something, right? Then I went ahead and tried it, and I'm like, so basically it's the Wii version of a 3D Super Mario Bros. 2. I pick shit up, and I throw it. That's fucking wonderful. I mean, come on, seriously. And there's so many things they could do. Like, they went ahead and made a trauma... They went ahead and made a couple of trauma centers, actually, for the Wii. And I still haven't picked up on those yet. But I was thinking, well, that would actually be a little bit better, as long as the sensitivity is right. Well, now we got the Motion Plus, so I don't really have anything to complain about. But, I don't know, When it's a force thing like the Wii, where that's all they can do, besides, like, you know, the classic controller for the virtual console and things of that nature, it's like anytime they want a game that uses traditional controls, then they have to make you hold it on the side and play like that, like a classic Nintendo controller. And then at that point, it's like, all right, so you've got this system that basically rivals the graphics of only the game that you're having to hold a controller sideways. In other words, bastardizing the original controller interface, having only half the original controller in order to play something with only a few buttons rather than all the full accessibility of the normal controller that you had in the GameCube. It really feels like a step back unless you're willing to do something with the motion control, at which point then you're alienating whatever audiences came to you at that point. It's ridiculous.
So to sum all that up, Microsoft and Sony, keep it to an accessory is basically what he's saying.
Yeah, make it the power pad.
Right, exactly. Or a DDR pad, or, you know, something like that. Okay, that's all the news worth newsing. Gamer Dick. Patrick, you got any Gamer Dicks this week since you've been playing Battlefield?
Not a heck of a lot, actually. I've noticed Battlefield, at least thus far, has had, you know, less modders and less glitchers. You know, and there's the usual guy who's sitting around blocking a door or something, but I haven't come across any real dick. The only two games I've been playing online is Sonic and Battlefield, and neither one I'm happy to report. There's been no assholes this week, so it's pretty good.
Cool. And, of course, I've been playing nothing but single player, so unless you consider the fact that God of War itself is a gamer dick because I'm horrible at small balance beams, we'll pass that on.
So you have a gamer dick?
I have two. They did the same thing.
Okay.
Okay. Now, back before I ever got on Xbox Live, To me, an RPG was something you didn't play online. Call me an old school, fucking old fart, whatever. I don't give a shit. To me, an RPG was one of two things. One, tabletop, which is more multiplayer than I would like it personally. Or, yeah, exactly.
You don't like nerd rage at D&D games? Come on.
No, fuck that. I just got Final Fantasy 13.
Right.
Alright. I got it at midnight. I played it till literally 3 in the morning, and then I decided, oh, fuck, well, I better go ahead and just sleep. My wife has to go ahead and work today. So I get a few hours of sleep. I wake up, get her out the door, then proceed to literally play the game for almost 11 hours straight. The only problem that I have being on the Xbox Live service while this is going on, and not willingly, it's just I have the connection there, so I'm on it, is at about, the 3 hour mark into that, so probably at about 11 o'clock, Carlos pops online.
This is a long intro, but I can see it's going to get good.
Without any hesitation whatsoever, Carlos invites you to party chat. I completely ignore him. I continue playing along my game as getting ready to go into a cutscene. Carlos invites you to party chat. I'm like, okay, now you're blocking the subtitles, so I'm going to get pissed off. And I continue ignoring him, and I think he did it a third time, and I continue ignoring him, so he sends me a message. So I wait until the cutscene's over, and I look at it, it's all... Okay. The worst part is, so I go ahead and pause the game after the cutscene's over and figure, okay, so he's probably in like Modern Warfare 2, wanting an additional person or something. No, he was on the Xbox dashboard. He had no reason for wanting to be in a party chat other than he just wanted to fucking talk.
Yep, pretty much. So, well, the Carlos.
Yeah, I completely fucking ignored him. Okay, so about, three or 4 hours. No, not even that day. The next day. So, yeah, yesterday, another buddy of mine, Swags, who's a really nice guy and everything, he has literally over 50,000 gamer score right now. He is an avid, like, Modern Warfare 2 addict, Modern Warfare 1 addict, all of it. Just, he fucking plays the shit out of games because he has so much free time on his hand. He tries to start up a party chat. And I ignore him. And not because I think he's an asshole or anything like that, but the basic premise is I'm like, this is a single-player RPG that I'm playing on my first time that I've never played before that I just got that is brand spanking new, and you want to go into a party chat. You know, it'd be one thing if I was, like, grinding on Disgaea or just grinding in general and just kind of bored and, you know, would be more than happy to talk to someone. No, if I'm playing a brand new fucking game, especially one single player only, don't do anything. Don't even message me. Don't. I'm literally to the point where every time I sit down to play an RPG, I'm ready to yank an Ethernet cable so nobody can fucking bother me.
You know you can go into settings and show as offline, right?
That doesn't prevent people from trying to message me offline. 'Cause they do that too.
I understand. Let's separate them. Your normal friends list, I don't mind a message. Hey, you want to play this? Even if I'm playing something like Final Fantasy 13. Because most of my friends list, minus one, understands that I'm not always going to want to play a multiplayer game. I know a couple times with Patrick, I jumped out of a game that I really didn't want to leave to go play with him because I felt bad, like, oh, I should turn him down, this and that. But even now with Patrick, and both of us do it, you know, he was playing Darksiders, I was playing, you know, Fable, and he'd say, hey, you want to play Modern Warfare 14? I go, nah, I'm just going to stay on Fable tonight.
Yeah.
But then you add in, and apparently I made him cry the other night, the Carlos factor. I totally understand why you're pissed off at him, but he just doesn't get it, that not everything's a multiplayer game.
My biggest beef was these two motherfuckers, and they're motherfuckers for the reasons already mentioned, kept messaging me. I'm like, it's a single-player RPG. What are you expecting me to do? Are you expecting me to get out of whatever I'm doing and talk to you? That was the other problem. And this is mostly on Swags, not on Carlos. This happened a lot while I was playing Mass Effect or Mass Effect 2. Either I would be invited to do a party chat, and I'm like, I'm playing a single-player RPG. And I'd be really nice about it and talk to them, but it's like, I wouldn't be going over sections that I'd gone over 20 times before. I'd be going over new shit, obviously. So I'm trying to listen to it and listen to him at the same time. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, on my old headset, I'm like turning his ass down while I'm turning the game volume up, but on this new headset, one of the piece-of-shit headsets, I'm like, I can't hear all this shit. I don't give a fuck. If I'm doing Modern Warfare 2, fine. But if I'm doing an RPG, you are not getting invited to party chat, because all you do is fucking talk. And the worst part with Swags is, if I don't say anything for a while because I'm trying to pay attention, he'll go, dude, you still there? Now, mostly he does that because our internet connections are a piece of shit when talking to each other. I don't know why.
Right.
But, like, for some reason, half the time, he just won't be able to hear me, even if I'm talking. Like, vice versa. He'll, like, pop out for a while. I'm like, I can't hear you now.
Yeah, we discussed this before, because you and I have that problem every once in a while.
Yeah, I'll just keep playing. I'll be like, I can't hear you. And I'll say that every so often while I'm playing. And then eventually he'll be like, and that's the only way to get out alive. I hope you remember that when the time comes. It's awesome.
Yeah, I did that the other night, too. I decided I wanted to talk to Pat real quick, because I'd hopped on to play some Rainbow Six. Well, the problem was where my last save point in Rainbow Six was where you had to go behind cover and try and snag three snipers where you could never leave cover. You had to, like, shoot blind.
Blind fire?
Yeah, and Patrick heard me cussing because I got killed, like, three times. But what was funny is I was having pause for a second, but Patrick and I were having a conversation, you know, no big deal.
Yeah.
And then Carlos comes on. Now, here's what you need to know.
We need to have an exception for Carlos. Don't auto-add the party.
Now, here's what you need to know, though. From, like, a month before, when he came into a party when we were playing Modern Warfare 2, and immediately goes, I gotta have a word with you. This thing you said about, and that's all he got out of his mouth, and I muted him. And that is what led to my doing the public service announcement for annoying me during parties.
Holy shit. That's awesome.
Well, I left him on mute, so he was still on mute when he came into the party while I was playing Rainbow Six. And what were you playing, Battlefield, Patrick, or were you playing something else?
Yeah, I was playing something. It must have been Battlefield. Yeah, it was probably single-player Battlefield, yep.
So I keep talking to Patrick knowing I want to wrap it up because I want to get back to editing the podcast, and I just had hopped on to take a break. Well, I never unmuted Carlos because I knew I'd be there another 45 minutes if I unmuted Carlos, and I'd never get to the next save point in the game. So, okay, to bottom line it, I tell Patrick, I'm like, dude, I'm not going to be on much longer. You guys have fun with Battlefield. Because like you said, it's so hard to talk to people when you're playing two different games.
Yeah.
I hopped out of the party chat. Like 10 seconds later, Patrick sends me a message. You made Carlos cry or something like that. Well, no, I sent him one back that said he'll live. And I kept right up. Here's the thing. Carlos, the reason I'll give him a pass to a point is all that kid cares about, for the most part, is multiplayer games. I get the feeling that he doesn't see it the way you and I see it, and probably Patrick too, I should say all three of us, is that I like playing Modern Warfare 2, I like playing, you know, Battlefield 43, but if I'm playing Overlord or something,
yeah,
don't
leave me the fuck alone.
Leave me the fuck alone, dude. It's, the world does not begin and end at multiplayer games, for me, or for you. He seems to think that playing Modern Warfare 2 outweighs playing Overlord 2 or Final Fantasy 13, and I'm sorry it doesn't.
And that's the only way to get out of there alive.
So if you want to comment on any of this, not to us in Xbox Live party chats, obviously, send us an email. The email address is morphenation23@gmail.com, morphenation23@gmail.com. And until next time, I will see you later. Peace.
Chaos.
Wow, and they all spoke. Grab that story. I forgot you like Super Monkey Island. I have nothing against it, but anyway.
Super Monkey Island.
Whatever.
Oh.
There's monkeys in an island, so I don't know.
That's awesome. Okay.
No, I totally forgot what the fuck I was talking about.
Porch light or whatever things.
Porch light? Yes.
Porch light, yep. Coming to consoles. You're talking about coming to consoles.
And you thought Super Monkey Island was bad. He just called
Super Monkey Island a porch light coming soon.
No, that will be the expansion pack.
That's the Twilight.
Twilight coming to consoles. Make it go away!
Oh my god, I would put an X for each one of my consoles of Twilight.
I've got to make sure it's a sparkly steak.
Yeah, hell no, I'd run that son of a bitch over with a truck or a tractor or something. It ain't coming back. No. They fart and die. That used to be my calling card in
You fart, you die.